The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 8, Text Number 44. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Kikari. Recorded on June 14th, 2014, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Pratyaya.
Itam
Kalapadai Parinuta Akila Udaya Mandam Jahasa Vaikunta Mohayam Eva Mayaya Sutta Uvacha Pratyayetam kala padai Parinuta kilodaya Mandam jahasa vaikunto Mohayan nivamayaya Sutta uvacha Pratyayetam kala padai Parinuta kilodaya Mandam jahasa vaikunto Mohayan nivamayaya Sutta uvacha Sutta said Pratyaya by Prita Kunti Itam this Kalapadai by chosen words Parinuta being worshipped Akila universal Udaya glories Mandam mildly Jahasa smiled Vaikunta the Lord Mahayam captivating Eva like Mayaya his mystic power. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sutta Goswami said, the Lord, thus hearing the prayers of Kunti Devi, composed in choice words for His glorification, mildly smiled. That smile was as enchanting as His mystic power. Purport. Anything that is enchanting in the world is said to be a representation of the Lord. The conditioned souls who are engaged in trying to lord it over the material world are also enchanted by His mystic powers. But His devotees are enchanted in a different way by the glories of the Lord, and His merciful blessings are upon them. His energy is displayed in different ways as electrical energy works in manifold capacities. Srimati Kunti Devi has prayed to the Lord just to enunciate a fragment of His glories. All His devotees worship Him in that way, by chosen words, and therefore the Lord is known as Uttama Shloka. No amount of chosen words is sufficient to enumerate the Lord's glory, and yet He is satisfied by such prayers as the Father is satisfied even by the broken linguistic attempts of the growing child. The word Maya is used both in the sense of delusion and mercy. Herein, the word Maya is used in the sense of the Lord's mercy upon Kunti Devi.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bharijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine.
What could be a more wonderful subject matter for a Bhagavatam class than the smile of Krishna? Sweeter than the sweetest honey. That smile of Krishna. If you can somehow get the smile of Krishna, you see, then your life is perfect. Even a mild smile is enough. It doesn't have to be a big, broad smile. Even a mild smile of the Lord is sufficient for all perfection. This reminds me of a very choice verse spoken by none other than Srimati Radharani about the Lord's smile. She says, Manamara Vamadina Jalavina Yenamina Krishna Vina Chane Mariyaya Madhurya Hashavadane Mananetra Yasayane Krishna Trishna Dvigunavadaya. Which means, if my impoverished mind forgets Krishna, then I die immediately, just like a fish out of the water. But when I see Krishna's sweetly smiling face, my mind and my eyes are so pleased that my Krishna Trishna, my thirst for Krishna, immediately doubles. Now just think about it. Whenever Radharani sees Krishna, that beautiful smiling face of the Lord, her thirst for Krishna doubles. Now, how many times do you think she's looked at Krishna's sweetly smiling face? And every time she does it, she becomes even more thirsty for Krishna. See, normally you're thirsty, you know, you drink some water, your thirst goes away, right? But Radharani, she's thirsty for Krishna and she drinks his face, and then she becomes even more thirsty. And she takes another drink, she becomes even more thirsty, and that goes on for all of eternity. So we can't even imagine how thirsty Radharani is for Krishna's face and how much nectar she's tasting when she sees Krishna's face. His sweetly smiling face, you see. So it's really beyond our conception, but we can look at his smiling face. You see. And maybe try to get a little glimpse of a glimpse of a glimpse of a glimpse of a glimpse of what it means to become thirsty for Krishna. You understand my point? We have to learn from Radharani, she is our Siksha Guru, how to become thirsty for Krishna. Just like after the nirjal, we're very thirsty to get that drink of water. But at the end of the nirjal, oh, that water, only 10 more minutes, right? So, we should be so thirsty to get that, to see that sweetly smiling face of Krishna. I remember when I was a young spiritual seeker, we're talking way back in 1968. I was trying to find some way to become self-realized. I tried this, I tried that, and nothing worked. It was so frustrating. But then, a friend of mine taught me the Maha Mantra. And I found a picture of Krishna at a gift shop in downtown Denver. It's actually a standard picture, Brijavasi print of Radha and Govindam. For those of you who subscribe to Thought for the Day, it's the one that I put there in Thought for the Day on the internet. And I didn't know anything about Radharani, but I didn't know who the girl was, you see. So I put this big picture of Krishna and Radha and made an altar in my apartment. I hadn't met the devotees yet. I was completely unschooled in Vedic culture. I had read an edition of the Gita with no purport. It wasn't Prabhupada's, but at least some of the verses were okay. But I was just relishing to see that sweetly smiling face of Krishna, and I really appreciated that girl because I could see she was really in love with Krishna. I didn't know who she was, what the story was, but I could see, wow, that girl is really and deeply in love with Krishna. And I was saying, that's really cool, you know. She's really in love with Krishna, and that's really cool thing. And I also, I feel this attraction for Krishna, she's feeling an attraction. So she was like a role model, that here's someone who's very attracted to Krishna. Now you also become attracted to Krishna, you see. So, why don't we have Radharani as a role model? We have Kunti Devi also as a role model, you see. She's also our Siksha Guru. How to become attracted to Krishna? Prabhupada very nicely points out here in this purport how everybody is actually attracted to Krishna. We're all captivated by the enchantment of Krishna, but... For the materialist, they're enchanted by his material energy. And for the spiritualist, we're enchanted by Krishna himself, you see. So which is a better deal? This reminds me of the Mahabharata, you know, where there was a choice. Arjuna and Duryodhana had a choice. You want Krishna or you want his army? So Duryodhana took the army and Arjuna took Krishna. So the army is like the energy of Krishna, you see. So everybody can get, you get your choice. You can get the army or you can get Krishna, you see. You can get the energy or you can get Krishna. Everybody has their choice. You're going to follow on the path of Duryodhana, the path of Arjuna, you see what I'm saying? Which one do you want? We're all going to be enchanted. You can't avoid being enchanted. Our nature is to be enchanted. You can't avoid that. That is your nature. Your nature is to be enchanted. So what will you be enchanted with? That's your choice. In the material world, there is no choice. They don't give you a choice. But when you meet a bona fide spiritual master, then you realize I actually have a choice of how I'm going to be enchanted. And then you can choose, you see. In the material world, they don't give you any choice. You have to be enchanted by money, power, fame, sex, food, sleeping, eating, you know, all. You have to be enchanted by this. And that's your life, boy. Be enchanted by this, you know. You go after these things. You're supposed to be enchanted by them. You're supposed to be attracted to sex. You're supposed to be attracted to money. You're supposed to be attracted to all these things. Now go for it and have a good time. That's how we're trained, you see. So we meet a bona fide spiritual master, we learn, no, there's something, there's an option. There's another channel on the television. Not only one channel on this TV set, there's two channels, you see. There's the material channel and the spiritual channel. And you have a choice which program you want to watch, which program you want to tune into, you see. You can flip the switch, you see. So for millions of lifetimes, we've been caught up on channel B, the material nature. But channel A was always there. We just didn't know it. So when you meet a bona fide spiritual master who's tuned into channeling, he says, "Come, why don't you flip your switch and come over to this side and see how you like it? If you don't like it, you can always go back to channel B. You know, but just try it." You see. And I was a spiritual seeker. I remember, well, it seems a little heavy, you know. Especially very hippie, you know. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meeting, no gambling. I was in the hippies. I was one of the hippies, you see. But I wasn't very happy being a hippie. Prabhupada said, "I'm turning the hippies into happies," you see. I was an unhappy hippie. So the devotees looked so blissful, you know. They looked effulgent, they were blissful. Well, let me try it, you know. I've tried everything else. It's a hippie. Let me try this, you know. No illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication, no gambling. In 16 rounds, let me try it. For 6 months, I'll make an experiment. That was my plan. It took me about 6 days, and I realized it was where it was at, you see. Only took me about 6 days. Didn't take 6 months. After 6 days, I knew this is it. This is it, you see. Because when you actually seriously take up this path of bhakti, you actually flip your channel to the spiritual world. You become tuned in to another dimension of reality, a higher dimensional plane of existence, where life is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, and all this birth, death, old age, and disease is just some bad dream you had. That's all. I was having this nightmare. And in this nightmare, I was Brahma, I was Indra, I was Indigopa, I was a king, I was a pauper, I was a rock star, I was a janitor, I was, you know, a boy, I was a girl, I was an elephant, I was an orangutan, I was an armadillo, I was a cactus, I was a microbial germ. I went through all these different things in this dream trying to enjoy, and I tried in this way, and it just seemed to go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I was trying to enjoy, and then I came in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. He said, "Come out of the dream. Snap out of it, boy. You're in a dream. Come out of the dream. Come back to reality. You're an eternal spiritual being. You're qualitatively one with the Lord. You're not meant to rot in the cycle of birth and death. You are meant to enjoy an eternal youthful existence, relishing that incredibly enchanting smile, sometimes broad and sometimes mild, of Krishna." You see? Don't cheat yourself anymore. Don't be duped by the nonsense propaganda of the materialists into thinking that you can be happy by money, power, fame, sex life, etc. It's simply hype. It is simply bogus hype. You cannot be happy in this way. Absolutely impossible, because it's not your nature. You are not material, you are spiritual. Therefore, you cannot be happy trying to be matter, trying to be something that you're not. You can't be happy trying to be something that you're not. You just have to be who you are. I remember we were one time, my wife and I, one time we were flying, we just finished preaching in the Fiji Islands, and we're getting ready to go back to the U.S. It was about midnight, the Nandi Airport, there was a huge queue, all the tourists going back to the U.S. after their Fiji fling. The huge queue, it's a big, huge queue, of all these people flying back to the U.S., and there we were in the queue with all these vacationers. And one of them, he saw me in my religious garb, and he thought he'd have a little fun, you know, defeating a religionist. He was obviously an atheist-type character. And his thing was to defeat spiritualists and show them what fools they are, you see. So he came up to me and he said, with a little smirk on his face, he said, "What's your philosophy?" I can immediately see where he was at. You see. He simply wanted to defeat the Hare Krishna and show that he was superior, philosophically superior. So I said, looked him right in the eye and I said, "Know who you are and be who you are." He couldn't say a word. You see. Because that's all we're really saying. You want to know our philosophy in a nutshell? Know who you are and be who you are. That's it. That's the whole Vedic wisdom in a nutshell. Know who you are and be who you are. That's all. Stop thinking that you're the body. Stop thinking you're American or Indian or male or female or Mauritian or British. Or stop thinking you're all these false designations. They're called upadis. Rupa Goswami says, Sarvapadivanir Muktam. Kick out all these false designations. You see? Start being who you really are for a change. Don't cheat yourself. Know who you are, and then once you know who you are, then it's very simple. Now you can be who you are. You see? All along I was thinking I was a male, I was an American, I had to enjoy in this way. It's false. All you have to do is know who you are, and then you can really be who you are. Hey, I'm a spiritual being. I have nothing to do with this body except to use it in Krishna's service. Otherwise, I have nothing to do with this body. Absolutely nothing to do with it. You see? Once you know who you are, then you can be who you are. Taking guidance from those who are expert in doing that. That's the guru, that's the devotees, you see. They're expert. They know who they are, and they know how to be who they are in practice. It's not just theoretical. The jnanis, their spiritual life is theoretical only. They don't have anything practical. Therefore, they go on for millions and millions of lifetimes before they can come even to the precincts of the lotus feet, not even touching the lotus feet of the Lord. You see, just come to the vicinity of the lotus feet, as described in the Brahma Samhita. Yat panda padla bhagyam vinadayu kumbha danve pranama samaye saganadi raja. Wrong verse, isn't it? Yeah. Is that the right verse? That about the lotus feet? Text number 34. Yat, is it yat pada? Yat panda padla bhagyam vinadayu kumbha danve pranama samaye saganadi raja. Vignan vihanta malamasya jagatriyasya. Is that the wrong verse?
Which one do you want?
The one about the...
This is about Lord Ganesh.
No, I don't want the Ganesh verse. I want the one about the lotus feet. The yogis and the jnanis. How does it begin? Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayuratapi manaso munipangavanam so pyasti yat prapapachin yabachin tatatve govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda the lotus. I worship Govinda the primeval Lord. Only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet are approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands of millions of years. So the jnanis, they may know their spirit, you see. But to how to be spirit, they go on speculating for thousands and millions of lifetimes, and still they don't get it. But if you can come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, Prabhupada explains from this verse, Brahmanda Brahmite Konda Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Tata Bij. After wandering throughout the Brahmanda, through the higher planets, the lower planets, 8,400,000 species since time immemorial, Konya Bhagyavan Jeev, one extremely fortunate living entity comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by the mercy of Krishna, and then, who then plants the seed of bhakti within his heart. You see? So if you get that seed of bhakti by hearing from a bona fide spiritual master, by reading one of Prabhupada's books, by meeting a devotee and hearing some preaching from him, you see, that can liberate you. That can pull you out of the illusion that you're the body, and bring you to the transcendental platform so you can actually relish the sweetly smiling face of Krishna 24 hours a day. Are there any questions? Okay. How should the devotees dress the household of Guru? Well, all devotees are Prabhu, and according to the GBC laws, In the ISKCON law book, it says that a Siksha, if you take someone as a Siksha Guru, you can address him as Guru Dev or Guru Maharaj. So that doesn't matter if he's a householder or he's a sannyasi. If someone takes a Siksha Guru can be addressed, even if you're not a disciple, you can address, that's your choice. Prabhu is a standard thing that we address all initiated devotees. But there's an option if you feel someone is really like Siksha Guru, if you really feel strongly, then you can call them Guru Maharaj or Guru Dev. That's an option. Maharaj by itself doesn't really make sense because it sounds like a sannyasi then. But Guru Maharaj, it can be the Siksha Guru can be called Guru Maharaj. If Krishna is so sweet, then why we could leave him and come to this world? Because we're fools, that's why. Please give us some examples of unconsciously done devotional service. Just like that Urdu-speaking man who uttered haram when he was being killed by the wild boar. Spiritual master is as good as God. Can you please shoot me with one of your mild smiles? No, I don't smile on command. I'm sorry. Spiritual master is not a dancing dog. Nor do you tell Krishna, okay, Krishna, now give me a smile. This is not the right mood. You should never approach Krishna like that. Sahaja. Sahajism. You want Krishna to be your little dancing dog. You never say, oh, Krishna, give me a smile. Oh, Gurudev, give me a smile. That's very, very offensive, actually. It's sahajism. Srila Prabhupada instructed his disciples to initiate 10 times more disciples more than him, meaning 50,000 disciples. Actually, I just read last night, then Prabhupada said, Americans, he said, 20 times more. I just read a quote, he said, 20 times more. How is it possible to remember so many initiated names? Well, we have our computer to help us. These are not philosophical questions. This is like silly things for a Bhagavatam class, you know. I don't know why. These are silly type of questions. They're really silly. I want these philosophical questions. These are silly questions to ask a spiritual master in a Bhagavatam class. They're silly questions to ask if you ever addressed your initiated devotees by an uninitiated name. And this is a stupid question to ask a spiritual master. This is frivolous. This is not serious spiritual life. It's ridiculous questions. It is the karma of Mother Earth, since she is suffering so many atrocities. Is it the karma of Mother Earth? She deserves it? No, Mother Bhumi is a pure devotee. She doesn't deserve these. She's suffering because of our sinful activities, not because of her sinful activities. Please explain the importance of Mangal Arati. Mangal Arati is there are 8 prayers. The 9th one says that anybody who sings these prayers during the Brahma Muhurta, they will achieve the direct service of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan at the time of death. So you think that's important? Would you like to wake up in the serving Krishna in the spiritual world and you leave your body, then observe Mangal Arati every day with the Gravastakam prayers, either here at the temple or at home. If you don't care about going back to Godhead, you don't mind taking a few more births, then don't sleep in. Go ahead, have a good sleep, like a bear. But if you'd like to wake up in Goloka Vrindavan, then get up every morning and either come here to the temple or at your home if it's too far away and observe Mangal Arati at home. Krishna creation is so perfect, but why we being part of Krishna's creation is so imperfect? Krishna has given you the free choice because he wants love is voluntary. You can't force anyone to love you. So Krishna gives you the choice to love him or leave him. If one is philosophically inclined towards the Vedic literature, does it mean he's a jnani? No. We should be inclined to this philosophy, but jnana means you try to speculate and figure it out by your own brain power instead of by submissively hearing from guru and from scriptures. That's what jnani means. I'll figure it out with my own brain power. That's jnani. If one does not do practical service often at the temple but sincerely reads Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, is that okay in the process of devotional service? That means you're not seriously reading them. You're not sincerely reading them. If you were sincerely reading them, you would be at the temple doing some service. Your reading is not very sincere. I can tell you right now. If you think you can just read and not do any service, that means your reading is not very sincere. Start reading sincerely and you'll be here doing some service. Naturally. While we consume prasadam at home, if it is not always possible while away from home, for example, when visiting relatives, friends, and work, is it okay? You can only put prasadam in your mouth and nothing else, otherwise starve. Only prasadam in your mouth. Now you can offer, if you're in an awkward situation, you can mentally offer it, but no onions and garlic. My wife and I travel all over the world and we fly on the airplanes and we don't eat the airplane food. We bring our own. So you have to be, you know, you have to be serious to be as pure as possible. Now if there was an emergency situation, you know, Prabhupada said that that for preaching, we sometimes eat in a hotel. He told someone that. I know that Prabhupada ever did it. Prabhupada said that sometimes we eat in a hotel when we're preaching. So if there's a situation where there's no alternative, maybe you're going on a business trip for your company, and you weren't able to bring a little cooker along for your hotel room to make your own khichdi, which is, you know, it's better to cook your own. I know one of my disciples, he had to go on like a contract to a Muslim country somewhere in Algeria or something. So he just bought a cooker and he was cooking his own khichdi in his hotel room and eating very nicely. I see. So the thing is, you really have to do everything you can to make your own food. If there's an emergency situation, then, you know, just keep it as pure as, don't take onions and garlic, obviously. The smile of the Lord is enchanting as his mystic power, as I see Radha Gokulananda smile practically every day. Well, that's good. Someone's coming every day, well, practically every day. Well, that's good. Someone's coming practically every day. It's almost as good as coming every day. Now, you'd be congratulated for coming for darshan practically every day. That's very good. But I'm not giving up sense gratification. Well, try to go a little deep into your darshan, not just a cursory glance. Try to take your darshan more deeper. Take Radha Golokananda into your heart when you take their darshan. Open your heart and let them enter your heart. Not just, you know, some quick glance. No. Hare Bol Maharaj, kind of a glance. You know. No. Take the Lord deep into your heart. Offer your obeisances and pray to him that please help me overcome this sense gratification desire. Please let me come out of this madness of sense gratification and be fully absorbed in your loving devotional service 24 hours a day. You beg the Lord every day when you come for darshan. Beg him for his mercy that you can have pure bhakti. It is so difficult to concentrate while chanting. The mind keeps going away. How to remain steady while chanting? You just got to keep bringing it back until it finally learns not to wander away. That's all. Can you share with us how you maintain your sadhana as a traveling preacher? Mangalarti, Mangalarti, Mangalarti every day, wherever, in a hotel, wherever it may be, Mangalarti every day. And I chant my rounds in the morning before I take prasadam every day. What is the minimum number of days a devotee must reside in Vrindavan to be purified? One. Is it better to distribute books on the streets rather than go door to door? Whatever works the best for you. Wherever you can get out the most books, do it. If the street works better, do it on the street. If door to door works better, do it door to door. Wherever you can distribute the most books, that's what you should do. Everybody should think, everyone should go on book distribution as soon as possible and as much as possible. Every one of you should be distributing books as much as possible. Whenever you have the opportunity, everyone should distribute books. Sometimes we forget the smiling face of Krishna, which causes us not to be enchanted by him. What to do? Remember his face? Kindly elaborate on how the spiritual master is the sum total of all the demigods. Prabhupada said, that's all I know. That's enough for me. How it's so, I don't know. But Prabhupada said it.
It
says it in the Bhagavatam. Sarva Deya Mayo Guru. Yeah. The Bhagavatam, in his Vyas Puja address, Prabhupada said he's the sum total of all the demigods. So I can't tell you how it's a fact, but I can tell you it is a fact because it's confirmed by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In other words, when you serve the spiritual master, you automatically serve all the demigods. So you don't need your Durga Puja, you don't need your Shiva Puja, you don't need your Ganesh Puja. Just worship the spiritual master. You've automatically worshipped all the demigods. So any other question? All right. We got about a couple of minutes left. Here's one. I don't know if this is a very important question, but somebody says, but only after 6 days of trial bhakti you decided to surrender to Srila Prabhupada. No, it took a little longer. I decided I would stick with the process. But I still had this foolish idea that I didn't need to be a disciple. It took me a while to get over that. That was phase number two. All right, I'll take this up very seriously now. But to actually give my heart to the spiritual master, I don't know how long it took. Maybe another couple of weeks, I can't remember exactly. Maybe 3 weeks, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month. I don't remember. I moved into the temple to give it a. I was going to seriously take up the practice, but not necessarily as a disciple. I can't remember how long it took precisely, but I finally realized that the devotees were getting more nectar than I was by their love for Prabhupada. And I didn't want to be in the outside of the jar of honey any longer. I wanted to be in the inside of the jar of honey. I realized I was licking the outside of the jar, they were licking inside the jar because of their relationship with Prabhupada that I didn't have. I was just going to be a devotee of Krishna. I was a songwriter, so I was just going to write songs about Krishna, be a Krishna conscious musician. That was my idea. You know, George Harrison, My Sweet Lord. I'm just going to sing Krishna conscious songs in my own way, be a devotee of Krishna, not a brahmachari in the temple, not a disciple. That was my idea. But then I was living with the devotees for some time, and I could see, I finally realized one morning that they're on a higher plane than I am. They're getting something that I'm not getting. So being an envious person by nature, I decided, you know, out of envy, I became a disciple. I didn't want to miss the nectar. I was envious of the devotees, transcendentally envious. They were getting something I wasn't getting, and I didn't want to be left out. So I will also become a disciple. And I was hearing that song on the second cut on the Radha Krishna Temple album. Samsara dava nalalita loka tranaya karyunya gana gana dvam prapta shakalyana guna navasya vande guru shi charanadu vindam. I was going, wow, those devotees, there's so much, they're experiencing love for Prabhupada, this sweet, loving ecstasy they're tasting by their love for Prabhupada. And then I was thinking, wouldn't it be beautiful like if I gave my life to Prabhupada? That's what I was thinking. I started crying. Wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Srila Prabhupada? And that was it. Prabhupada entered my heart. My material life was over. Now I'm Prabhupada's man forever, you see. So anyway, we'll stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Grace Sankarshan Dasa Dikari Maharaj Ki Jai.